Yes, sir. It's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Do you like a little ukulele? Ukuleles Unleashed is broadcast live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Carmen Borgia hosts the live segment, and John Sturman spins the finest ukulele music from every nook and cranny of our crazy old earth. So, if you're like me and you like a little ukulele, tune in to Ukuleles Unleashed on WGXC 90.7 FM the third Tuesday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. or find us later in the archive at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Twin Wolves Healing Arts, your local holistic health community located in Old Chatham. Twin Wolves offers a variety of services, including sauna, cold plunge, and red light therapy. Information and scheduling at twinwolvesheal.com. By phone at 518-596-7057 or by email at hi@twinwolvesheal.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of August Black of Boulder, Colorado. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Take your Wellingtons off, children, and Mammy will tell you a pleasant story.
Good evening, Kevin Factor here, and this is Foraging Ahead. Tonight, I talk with Doug Stone, resident expert, many things, and we explore what the death of Ozzy Osbourne means, what his life means, what his music means. Doug comes from a certain perspective, and he has much insight and great knowledge, and we talk about this cultural touchstone and listen to a little bit of music. Part one, Ozzy and Doug.
Talking with Doug Stone, resident expert on...
I wouldn't call myself an expert on Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne.
No, I've always been interested in him and followed him, his life. But I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
Mm-hmm. So his death really hit you kind of hard.
You know, in the last, he had such a great going out time. He did a performance with Tony Iommi. I think it was at a football game about a year ago that was pretty great. And then getting Black Sabbath back together just in the last few weeks to do this big farewell show. And everyone was there, and Bill Ward, the drummer who had all these problems with them, was back, and it was great, and they were so pleased about it. And then he passes away 2 weeks later. It's a pretty nice way to go. I think he had some very deep feelings about having a not really nice final chapter in his book of life. He almost died in a ATV accident. This was like, I don't know, 10 years ago or maybe even more, where it flipped over and he almost died. So I think the way that it happened...
The fact that he lived as long as he did is somewhat amazing.
With all of his excesses.
With all of his excesses.
Okay, Ozzy had been battling significant health challenges for years, particularly Parkinson's disease, which he diagnosed in 2003. No official cause has been announced. Can you die? You can die of Parkinson's. Complications?
Yeah,
what are... does it matter exactly
not
how
really.
He died?
No. No, just
I'm just curious, you know. But anyway, please continue. I don't mean to derail.
No, no. So all right. So he seemed. Where would you place sort of Ozzy Osbourne in sort of the history of heavy metal and Black Sabbath and like did he write songs?
No, but he served as the inspiration and vessel and interpreter and shaping them with suggestions and ideas. He was more of a, you could compare him a little more to Elvis as someone who was a just terrific performer. And for me, peak Ozzy is the 1989 Moscow Peace Festival. And it's just the energy and just everything about it. You know, it's just terrific. Just terrific.
So, can you talk about sort of, he started with Black Sabbath as a young man, right?
Or they were originally called the Polka Tulsa Blues Band.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But then there was a shift.
And they are out of Birmingham, England, is that right?
Yeah.
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 So.
But I didn't quite answer your earlier question about placing him in history.
Yeah.
Like,
is there a before and after Ozzy? Like, what?
Well, Alice Cooper came before Ozzy.
Okay.
And Alice Cooper was an influence on Ozzy.
As a performer? As a
yeah. Yeah. Going back, before that, you've got Screamin' Jay Hawkins, hugely influential on all those guys.
Mm.
And he was very extreme shock rocker. That's the genre we're really talking about.
Mm-hmm. I put a spell on you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then before Screamin' Jay, for live performance, there was the Grand Guignol Theater in Paris that went from like the late 1800s all the way to the 1960s.
Hmm.
And it was like a horror theater where they were doing like special effects, like decapitations and stuff. And that was
an influence on Black Sabbath?
No, on Alice Cooper.
On Alice Cooper.
And probably Screamin' Jay, although I'm not sure. But I'm just talking about in terms of predecessors.
Mm-hmm.
To the art of kind of horror-themed performance. And so with Black Sabbath, Tony Iommi, you know, they were into horror. Tony was into horror movies. And I think they all were. And Tony was like, if people are paying to be scared by a horror movie, why couldn't you do the same with a band? And so, but there were predecessors. There were predecessors, like I said, like, also Coven is, I think, very important to mention in that thing. So we can say, let's say in the modern time, it would be Screamin' Jay, Crazy World of Arthur Brown, very important. I am the God of Hellfire. And he's a song by it's like there's no guitar, it's organ, bass, and drums, and he was an amazing performance artist, still alive, with a Flaming Crown. I mean, this is in the 60s, you know. This is before Black Sabbath. So Arthur Brown, very influential on Ozzy and those guys. Coven is a very interesting band to talk about. Coven had a their first album was 69. The first song is called Black Sabbath. The guitar player was named Bud Oz Osborne. Okay, so there are some influences going on towards Black Sabbath.
And when did Black Sabbath start?
started rehearsing, I think, 67, and started, their first album was 70.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Most people, I place them somewhat later, but...
Well, going back to Ozzy's life, let's just, I just want to set the stage. Here's a guy who grew up pretty poor, very industrial situation.
Birmingham.
Bleak. He has dyslexia, so he's a super outsider and loner, and people think he's kind of weird. There's these horrible boys who, on his way home, wait for him and beat him up and sexually abuse him. Oh, yeah. And it was super traumatic. As far as what the, if the question, let's say the question is, was he sexually abused by these boys? He said they beat me up and had their way with me, and that it was a profoundly traumatic thing. And just figuring out how to get, he's like, so such a bleak industrial thing that there's it's like, in order to get home, you know, you've seen these pictures of like English row houses that are like super long. There's like very few intersections, and so just to get home, he has to like run this gauntlet where these like maniacs are out to get him. I mean, it's like a horror movie, you know. Then he has some criminal activity. He's in jail for, his dad leaves him in jail for 3 months to teach him a lesson, and it apparently, you know, worked to a degree. We'll get into that later, but yeah, worked in a slaughterhouse, so he's around like animals being slaughtered.
At how old? At what age?
I'm not sure. It's probably like 20. So like the amount of kind of alienation and violence and sexual abuse, coupled with his own, you know, disabilities, his dyslexia,
in a very bleak,
in this like
hopeless.
It's like he grew up in Eraserhead. You've seen that movie, right? Yeah. I mean, it's traumatic. And so that was, you know, the famous, well, I don't know about famous, but the line about Black Sabbath was that they were looking at all these hippie bands that were singing about maybe like Age of Aquarius, you know? This is the dawning of the... And they were like, what? And so they were, but here's the interesting thing about them, I think. So you've got a band of two Christians, one spiritual agnostic and one atheist, okay? Ozzy and Tony are the Christians, wearing crosses often. Bill Ward is the atheist and Geezer Butler is the spiritual mystic, agnostic. Also spiritually disillusioned, and he's writing all the lyrics, and so, not a lot, but I would. AI told me about 10 songs in their catalog are about singing about Satan in a very negative way, a very much of a warning way, which is right in line with Christian, you know, perspective.
Interesting.
So you got Ozzy grows up Christian. He's a Christian in this bleak world where God is not protecting him at all. And there's a lot of fear. And... so tell me, how does that stew? What are your perceptions of Black Sabbath? Just as a, you know, just as someone who knows about music, but just can you tell us what is the popular perception of them and what I mean?
And people talk about heavy metal, like Black Sabbath is almost ground zero for most people's public
perception. Yeah.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
Growing up in Long Island in Seacliff, New York. And my friends and neighbors across the street, I used to walk to school with them. The older brother put up a big Black Sabbath poster in their bedroom. And the parents, who were Catholic, flipped out, made them take it down.
Well,
it was Black Sabbath threatened the straight world in a way that sort of the hippies and the peace and love, you know, like the Velvet Underground was an answer to the peace and love stuff. So was the Doors in a lot of ways. And yeah. Black Sabbath was a sharp break from that.
Yeah.
Even maybe not, I mean, lyrically, but also just the sound of it, right?
Yeah.
And horror is a great word to describe
the
music, especially the first time you hear it, because I'd never heard anything like that
before. Okay, so here's a funny story about how the first song was created. And, you know, it'd be interesting to listen to the Coven song, Black Sabbath, and I don't think we would need to really listen to it closely, but my understanding of how the first song was created was, is it Geezer or Jeezer? I'm not sure. Butler was listening to Mars by Holst, okay? So that has this wonderful, famous line that's like, bum, 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 bum. It's such a wonderful, ominous, powerful, you know, progression of melody with just, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's like heavy classical music.
Yeah.
So Butler was playing that on the bass for the band. And Tony was like, what if it was dong, bong, bong? Okay, so that is what is called a tritone. There is lots written about the tritone. It's called the devil's figure or the devil's interval. I'm not sure. And there's...
Historically,
this goes back to the Middle Ages.
Ah.
Where the da da da, or and lots of variations of that, okay. That's just kind of this basic thing, but like even the Holst da 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 is a variation of that. And so, as a musician, when you hear that, what is your reaction to just that melodic figure?
Yeah, I mean you feel, you know, a little bit anxious.
But why?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's ask AI. Keep talking.
Why does the devil's tritone... I mean, it might just be in a certain Western sensibility, right?
Why does it evoke fear? Diabolus in Musica, Latin for the devil in music, commonly known as the devil's tritone, is a musical interval spanning three whole tones, or six semitones, technically a tritone. It's long been associated with dissonance and tension in Western music, often evoking feelings of unease, fear, and eeriness. But why? Acoustic properties inherently dissonant. Resolution absence.
There you go. So eternal suffering.
Relevance to Black Sabbath.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, so it's like associated with them. So...
Or the Black Sabbath, the band, or Black Sabbath?
No, the band. The brain response. Dissonant intervals like the tritone activate the amygdala, the brain's fear center.
There you go.
Due to their irregular sound waves. So it's like the aural version of a horror movie where you're watching fucked up things happen. Sorry, where you're watching disturbing things happen.
Yeah. So they latched onto that.
And added so much power with the way that Tony was playing the guitar. You know, he was missing a finger, that he lost a finger in a metal shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's playing these very bold bar chords. Okay, the Devil's Tritone evokes fear due to its dissonant, unresolved sound which clashes with human expectations of harmony, triggering psychological unease.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as horror movie soundtrack when you're watching The Omen and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is that there really is this powerful music.
It's a shortcut to the amygdala.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It's the most primitive part of the brain, and you often, the hearing is way more connected to emotion than vision.
Yeah.
Right. So that's,
and smell, like if you had incense.
Right.
You felt like you'd walked into the witch's Sabbath, and like if you were walking in the woods in the Middle Ages at night, trying to find your way, and there you see a fire, and there's like some kind of ritual going on, and they're going no, no, no. Although I like it, I mean, it kind of cheers me up.
It cheers you up. Well, I think that's, you're a little different that way. So,
well, no, come on. There's so many people. It's a very popular album.
Well, that's the thing. Why do you think this Devil's music was so popular?
I mean, I'm just theorizing, but I would say you have the Kennedy assassination, which is the, like a horror movie.
Right.
Right in broad daylight.
Right.
You've got the Vietnam War, which is just horror.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Manson thing. And so they are echoing that. But drawing on, I think, an older tradition of horror movies and horror theater and horror opera. But look, not all of their black... We're just talking about that very first coming on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Later, there's all kinds of different stuff that's like... they changed it up. There was a lot of just very different kinds of approaches. So not to shortchange all of that.
Right. So what are some of your favorite Black Sabbath and then Ozzy Osbourne songs?
Well, as a cultural artifact, you can't beat that first album. Is just amazing. And I mean, they're all worthwhile. And then going into the Dio era, I really like that stuff too, and I love Dio. So that's the Black Sabbath really has these, and the other people sang for them too. I think they had like 9 different. There's been guest singers all in that
but
band.
But we're focusing on Osbourne.
Yes. So he is a guy who goes through all of this.
He goes through all this stuff.
Trauma.
And where did he?
And gets huge success.
But how did he? How did he get? Is there an origin story of Ozzy and Black Sabbath that you know of?
Yeah, I think that he had hit a point where it was like, well, what is he going to be doing with his life? getting out of jail, mm-hmm. and just being like, what am I going to do? And he's working in the legend, which I think is true, is that he was working in an auto shop on the car horns. So it says, he does this like loud sounds. And let me just check this real quick. Did Ozzy's father buy him a PA and microphone? Because I think, unless I'm wrong, that was a big, big moment. But wait, AI is going to tell us. We don't want this to just be speculation station where we're just throwing out.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yes, Ozzy Osbourne's father, Thomas Jack Osbourne, bought him a PA system and a microphone to support his early musical aspirations. So that's just huge, you know.
So he had musical aspirations.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he just was, you know, getting beat up, abused.
Oh, okay. When did Ozzy first start singing? Great question. How did he emerge as a vocalist?
Yeah, because, I mean, you hear this backstory.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he probably became a singer. No, that's not what you know.
I know the Beatles were big for him.
Yeah, well, they were big for everybody. I mean,
first started singing in his early teens, around 63, when he was 14. Initially, singing Beatles songs. He started singing early teens.
So he did. That was probably therapeutic, you know, for him.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
As is for a lot of singers.
You know. For sure.
So he's been singing. Did he sing with bands before Black Sabbath?
Yeah, the Black Panthers. And this is from AI. That's not from my memory. Black Panthers, Music Machine, and Approach. So, yeah, trying out different things. I'm certainly not an expert on his early bio. I'm more trying to see him almost from a micro... Well, of course, there's lots of micro details that are important.
Yeah, yeah. But, So how does he join Black Sabbath? Do they hear him? Do they go, oh, we want you to sing for us?
In 67, Ozzy placed an ad in a Birmingham music shop. Ozzy Zig needs gig, has own PA. This caught the attention of Geezer Butler, who was looking for a vocalist for his band Rare Breed. Then this polka talk blues band. It's almost like Spinal Tap territory, how many bands. But look, they came together. They were called Earth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then in early 69, the band discovered another group named Earth, prompting a rename. Butler, inspired by seeing people queue for the 1963 horror film Black Sabbath, starring Boris Karloff, suggested the name, which the band adopted. The film's dark, supernatural vibe resonated with their evolving sound, and Butler wrote the song Black Sabbath, inspired by a vision of a shadowy figure and powered by Iommi's tritone riff. This marked their shift to a heavier, darker sound, distinct from blues rock. So that's a big difference from Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. So well, Zeppelin never left the blues completely behind.
Yeah. So these guys are really drawing from film soundtrack music.
Mm-hmm.
It's cinematic. It's literal. You know, it's like the music matches the lyrics.
Yeah.
The same way that a horror movie works.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And they're also singing about the devil as a very negative force that you want to avoid at all costs. They're not celebrating him. They're right in line with Catholic belief. It's just that the visuals and the sound of the music,
you know,
is kind of like...
And the name of the band.
And the name of the band.
Right? I mean, it's... You know, parents at that...
They're not going to analyze the lyrics.
They're not
going
to sit down and listen to the lyrics,
yeah,
and go, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
This is actually a lot more benign than I thought it was.
Well, I wouldn't call it benign, but look, it's almost like you have the Catholic Church putting forth this story that the devil is real and it's coming to get you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's,
and it's going to take
like
you away to hell.
Up with that in the 70s.
And what?
They didn't just come up with that in the 60s.
No, I'm saying it's going back thousands of years.
Yeah.
Well over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So then when it's reflected back in the culture, the same kind of propaganda, but packaged as a, you know, cultural pop art, like The Exorcist and Black Sabbath.
Well, I don't think anybody mistook The Exorcist as being pro-demonic possession.
Exactly.
Right.
It's more but, in line with Catholic
right.
propaganda.
But people, according to you, I never really gave it a whole lot of thought. And to be honest, I never really listened to a whole lot of Black Sabbath. I had friends who were into it. And then sort of Iron Maiden and all that. And I just the sound of it just didn't appeal to my delicate sensibilities. I like.
Oh well, this is a great opportunity for you to revisit that stuff.
Well, that's what I'm doing with this show.
The more you know about them, their lives, and the context and everything, it becomes just as fascinating, if not more fascinating, than how the Beatles came up with their sound.
Mm.
And in a way, Black Sabbath was like a version of the Beatles that was 180 in the other way.
Right.
But the Beatles did have some really good.
They're all from working class towns.
Yeah. Well, you have Ozzy, who, you know,
well, Black
barely
Sabbath.
He did not. He actually, I don't think he did escape his childhood, you know, unscathed.
No, well, of course not. I mean, he famously lifelong struggle with drug and alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
So. Ozzy, how long was Ozzy with Black Sabbath?
Till 79.
So,
and he described him getting fired from Black Sabbath as like a traumatic, miserable divorce.
Right. And why did they fire him?
Because of his drug and alcohol problems.
Really? He was too wild for Black Sabbath.
I don't know if he's even wild. It's just like
not showing up.
Just like dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's lots of stories from those days. But yeah, it just was not, you know, they were needing to function and make money, and he became a
liability,
a big liability. Yeah. And the story is that Sharon Osbourne was named, I think, Sharon Arden, and her father was his manager, and she stole him away as a client, away from her father.
Oh.
Yep, and started managing him herself, and that caused estrangement between her and her dad.
Oh, I did not know that. So she started managing him after he left Black Sabbath.
Correct.
Or got kicked out of Black Sabbath. And he got kicked out of Black Sabbath because he was drinking and drugging and unreliable. And then I guess in the sort of the classic rock bio, here's, you know, years in the wilderness, right? Like, when did he get his act together and come?
Never. You have here. Okay, now we get into this.
Right.
Now we're going there.
All right.
So, let's just on a zooming out. We have to address how the animal cruelty figured into his public image, and also fed into the reality show.
Right. Okay. But does the most famous thing that everybody knows about is him biting the head off a bat, right?
Yeah.
So did that happen? A, did that happen for real? B, did that happen when he was in Sabbath or when he was solo?
Okay, I want to put that in context and discuss three incidents that kind of led up to that.
Oh wow! Okay.
The first one is super horrible, like a true horror movie, like a real horror movie. And this is when he was extremely messed up on drugs and alcohol, and they had, he and Sharon had 17 cats, a big family of cats. He took a shotgun and killed all of them, like a total massacre. And he's talked about that, and she's talked about that. And it was just like, I mean, just think about that for a moment, like, visually, like how incredibly...
Were they indoor cats or outdoor cats?
What does that matter? It doesn't matter.
No.
And he has, when he said, he said things like, I've done terrible things in my life.
Yeah.
So that has got to be one of them.
Right, murdering 17 cats.
Just think, like, it's evil. It's evil. So he's someone who was just, and I just want to, I sent you some quotes. I just want to read a few of these. In a 2001 interview, he said, and this is not necessarily reflective of him in the early 80s. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying this is kind of his redemption period when the reality show comes around.
Right, right. See, I never saw the reality show, but I do remember Blizzard of Oz.
Okay. Well, you're talking about a difference of
20-something years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's try and stick chronologically.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, well, just it's easier for me.
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
So he got kicked out of Black Sabbath, and then he makes a comeback, right?
Okay, but we were talking about the cat thing, and I'm leading into this other stuff.
Okay,
you're cutting me
so
off.
So he killed the cats. Go on.
Kills the cats, and describe that as like, I may be wrong about this, but my understanding is that he described that as like this incredible low moment. That he, what's on your phone?
Nothing. I'm just scrolling.
What are you looking for?
Hmm?
What are you looking for?
Sconces.
What?
Sconces.
What do you mean?
You know, for like walls.
Oh. Yeah. Seriously?
No, no. I'm looking up Ozzy stuff. Go on.
Here, I'll look it up. Tell me what to look up. I'll look it up for you.
No. I got it. So he killed the cats. He copped to killing the cats. Why
did he do that?
Did he give an answer other than he was just out of his mind?
Yeah, that's the thing. And my response to that is, there are many people who get messed up on drugs and alcohol who don't take a shotgun and kill 17 cats.
Usually, I mean, like 10 or 15 is the limit.
No.
Again, indoor, outdoor cats. Like,
it's irrelevant.
Yeah. So,
I was in a terrible state doing things I'm deeply ashamed of.
Yeah.
Killing those cats was one of the lowest points of my life. I was out of my mind on drugs and booze and something I'll regret forever. So that's like a big thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and fair play to him. At least he didn't say, what cats? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
cats,
good.
You know.
Totally. Okay.
Which is probably how he would be advised to handle it now.
Right. So you would think that, you would think that after that, he might reconsider his attitude towards animals.
Right.
Right?
Go on. But he didn't, apparently. I'm guessing he didn't.
Well, I think, let me just check this, but I think in chronologically, the cat thing... yeah, it was the first thing, big animal cruelty situation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to someone?
No. I'm just,
This says he...
Okay, in 78, he shot chickens.
Well, this says that he was attempting to kill chickens, but he killed the cats. Maybe he thought the cats were chickens. That would be a really embarrassing thing.
In 78, he shot chickens, which is like, all right, I don't know, maybe.
Wait, there's nothing about the cats?
Well, hang on, I haven't gotten. So, in the early 80s, he killed ducks.
Where are you getting this?
I'm reading it. This is AI, right? Ozzy Osbourne's controversial history with animals. 78, shooting chickens. During a heavy period of drug and alcohol abuse, Osbourne reportedly shot chickens behind his house. All right. And then in the early 80s, while on tour, members of his crew reportedly kidnapped ducks from a lake after a hotel clerk failed to provide a rubber ducky for Osbourne's bath. One account suggests Osbourne may have left a duck in the tub for the maid to find.
Well, that's not so bad.
then the shooting pet cats in a drug-induced episode during a difficult period, possibly before or during his marriage to Sharon.
I have way more details on mine.
Admitted to shooting all 17 of his family's cats, right? He was under a piano, dressed in a white suit, holding a shotgun and a knife.
I think it was a white kimono.
With no memory of the event until his wife's return. Okay.
This says...
And then biting the head off of a dove.
Okay, wait. I'm getting to that. The cat shooting incident occurred in the late 70s, likely 78, 79, during the recording or touring period for the Black Sabbath Never Say Die. Okay, so we've established that, right? So, imagine you're a dove. A white dove. And you're in a box. And you're like, what? Yeah, with all these other doves.
Right.
And you're like, oh, what's going on? Yeah. This? The box is opened, and you look out, and it's like, oh, I'm in the conference room of a major record label.
Now, were these indoor or outdoor doves? They're probably, yeah.
And it's, I think it was Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Is that right? Looking, oh, it's a big, there's like this big reception. Oh, look, it's Ozzy. Oh, my God. My understanding is that they bring in the doves to this...
As
a peace offering. He throws the doves, you know, out. Maybe he opens the box and, like, the doves are flying around. And everyone's like, oh. He grabs one of them and bites the head off in front of all of these people, including Sharon. And everyone's just, like, absolutely disgusted.
And then he's...
And blood coming...
Bat it at a publicist.
What?
That's what it says here.
Okay, well, that's shock rock for you. That's how they make their money, and that's the game.
Right.
But it's just, yeah, it's, I know that it's iconic and whatever, but I think it's pretty gross and celebrating cruelty. And he's a Christian, okay? The person who's doing this, let's just... Maybe he converted to Christianity later, but, like, it's messed up.
Well, and then, of course, what sealed the deal, as if these other things wouldn't, you know...
The bat.
...was the bat.
Okay, so my take on that is that the dove incident was so, you know, just spread like wildfire. It's like an urban legend that was totally true.
Right.
And worse than people even heard about it. You know,
yeah.
Spitting it at somebody. I mean, boy, talk about... I mean, look, it's extreme performance art, but...
It's also, like...
It's got to be illegal.
Oh, well, it's illegal, but it's also... I don't know if it's performance art or if it's you're just, like, in a psychotic state induced by drugs and alcohol.
And also... trying to get massive publicity. Massive. As a strategy. So the bat thing, my understanding is that
in Des Moines, Iowa,
someone had of course heard about the dove thing, so they bring a bat. I don't know if the bat was alive or dead or stunned or whatever. So already you're taking a, you know, animal.
Right.
And tosses it on stage. So here's the thing. Ozzy's like,
Well, I thought it was a rubber. I thought it was a rubber toy.
Well, if you pick up a bat, you're immediately going to know whether it's... I mean, he's like really messed up on drugs, so okay, I give him that. You put a this thing's head in your mouth, you don't know if it's a real bat or a rubber toy. They maybe look a little the same, but they don't...
I mean,
bites into the head, bites it off. I kind of wish that the bat had
rabies,
flown around and escaped him.
Well, he got rabies shots for that.
Yeah,
you know, and then cemented his image as the evil.
It's definitely, definitely.
But then it speaks to the times and his audience, which I would be young men, right? Mostly.
Yeah.
And that he made sold millions of albums and just packed stadiums, and you know, like that these antics, right, attracted a huge following.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that aspect of him is certainly in the geek tradition.
Mm.
You know that? Biting the heads off of chickens?
Yeah, yeah.
G.G. Allen was kind of coming up around...
But he was also a psychopath. I mean, he was just a full-on psychopath.
Yeah, totally.
He was mentally ill. Like, Ozzy, it could be said, his mental illness was mostly due to drug and alcohol use, you know, and... he was attempting to deal with this early trauma, right? Like, so animal cruelty, but he does repent, regret, acknowledge these incidents.
Yeah, and he,
you know, I don't know.
He said things like, I was never into Satanism or anything, devil worship or any of that rubbish. I was just an idiot doing things because I was drunk and on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, that explains a lot of human behavior.
Okay, but what he kind of did is, like, if you think about it, he's a Christian, or at least he said, he never said he converted to Christianity. He said, I grew up Christian and I've always believed the basic beliefs of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Christian. Biting the heads off of animals as performance art, while kind of pretending to be a Satanist,
right,
and therefore pushing the Catholic Christian perspective of Satanists as deranged maniacs. He's like fueling the satanic panic with this like insane behavior.
Yeah. But I mean, in many ways, it's not much different than professional wrestling or any of these other sort of.
Are they doing killing animals in the professional wrestling?
No, but that there's an element of an element of the theatrical, right?
Kayfabe,
right? Like that you know that it's not real, but deep down, but. The fun is believing it is.
But he did bite the head off a bat.
No.
He did bite the head off a
Satanism and stuff like that.
Let me just.
I mean, I don't know that, like, if you're a follower of Black Sabbath, that you could then, you know, sort of build a coherent life philosophy.
Well, those things happened when he went solo.
Yeah.
So right. It was like he wanted to, in his maybe animal brain. Was, you know, he's doing like shock. It's shock rock. I mean, imagine if he had shotgunned 17 people, he would not have been around to enjoy any success at all.
Right. Well, that's what we do. That's what I mean. We eat chickens. We don't necessarily eat.
I said I'm talking about cats.
Right.
That's not cats are not. People don't eat cat. To me. Unnecessary, and I mean, certainly.
You think killing 17 cats is unnecessary?
I would say it's evil.
Okay, so it's evil.
It's evil,
but But isn't that the whole Christian thing is, you know, hate the sin, not the sinner. And
no, I don't.
And also, you have redemption is possible.
Then he tried to strangle Sharon. Tried to kill her.
Yeah.
It's like 89 or something.
Well,
I think he came pretty close.
I think they had a complicated relationship. It sounds like.
Yep. She forgave him.
Apparently, yeah. You know, but it's interesting that he found somebody, for whatever reason, who believed in him.
Oh yeah.
And
no, his father and the guys in Black Sabbath and Sharon and also Bob Daisley he had a whole team of people who really believed in him and helped him and supported him and gave him a great platform. And like I said, you know, you watch the 89 Moscow Peace Festival and it's just this sense of extremely talented people, including Ozzy, and just giving him a platform to just do what he does and get the audience going, and it's just terrific. And very much a moment in, you know, Russian history. And I think that that's the same festival that Klaus Meine of Scorpions played and inspired him to write Wind of Change, because he, you know, it was just a change in Soviet society.
Yeah, well, the end of Soviet society.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean...
And Ozzy represented a... you know, we don't want to focus just on the animal cruelty and trying to kill Sharon. Like, in his performances and the subject matter that he was exploring and playing with the devil stuff, he did represent a more of a carnal liberation from authority. I just think that, you know, boy, he just was really out of his mind a lot of times and could get super violent.
Talk about a little bit about Ozzy's solo career, right? The Blizzard of Oz, I remember.
Yeah, he's on a very provocative trip, and it's in this time when AC/DC is doing a kind of similar thing where you have the church and Christians are very much warning about the devil and demonic forces, and those guys are like, okay, we will fulfill because that stuff is not even real. And you know, did Ozzy think that the devil was real? I mean, that's a good. He certainly believed that in God and Jesus. Mm. But you know, AC/DC, I think, did it very funny,
tongue-in-cheek.
Very funny, very tongue-in-cheek. Ozzy did too, but they were doing a very funny social commentary where, you know, the right-wing Christians are just going full force about the devil is real and possession is real and all these things, and they were fulfilling those roles. And Ozzy, because of the animal cruelty, had like a real scary vibe. Meanwhile, he's like on the album covers grinning, and he had a very diabolical image. The music is not satanic. The music has nothing positive to say about Satan or hell or anything like that. So, again, that, you know, it's from a Christian perspective, but it's kind of an exaggerated, it's not even exaggerated, it's basically he's just aligning with what the Christians were saying, but just embodying it as himself, as a character. But he definitely distanced himself from that character and said, he called Satanism and everything rubbish, but again, it's like he's coming from a Christian perspective. Based on Ozzy Osbourne's statements and lyrics, it's highly likely he believed the devil was real. So you could argue that he was a Christian artist.
Hmm.
He's just focused on all the devil and Satan stuff. And he's saying he is using it for marketing and inspiration for his performance art and all of that. But he's coming at it through a real Christian lens. The reality show was such
reality
a
show.
Huge
I never
cultural
saw the reality show.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was like hugely popular. And part of the whole premise of the whole joke was that this is a guy who, you know, had documented madness and animal cruelty and tried to kill his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But now he has transformed and he's just a
dad.
Docile, doddering, cantankerous.
Oh, yeah.
Plays loud music sometimes. And is not a great neighbor, and he was wild sometimes on the show.
Oh yeah,
but the whole joke of it was that he used to be dangerous, and now kind of the question for the audience is he still dangerous, or this is a look into his family life, you know? So
did you watch that?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, people thought, and I thought, that it was absolutely hilarious because he was such a funny. Well, the thing about him as a comedy character is just way up there. So, walk around and just his lines, the things that he said were just super funny.
And he had two kids, right?
They have three.
Three.
Yeah, and the kids were funny. I mean, it's they're real characters. It's definitely worth watching some of those episodes. It's very revealing and funny. Yeah.
So best.
And he became very beloved because, you know, he was like someone who had this very shock reputation. But now he seemed like someone you could really hang out with and not be afraid that he was going to do something
shoot your cats
bizarre
or bite your chickens.
Yeah,
heads.
Yeah.
So tell me what if can you.
So here's some quotes from the show.
Okay.
I'm a very simple man. You've got to have a computer now to turn the TV on and off. I press one button and the shower starts. What is this? Where am I, man? The nightmare continues. Nightmare in Beverly Hills. So he's like super wealthy and living in this automated mansion and is overwhelmed by the technology.
Right.
And he just wants to watch TV. And there was a lot on the show where he was unable to watch what he wanted.
Sure. Last thoughts on Ozzy Osbourne. You think... Do you think he'll
I would
be?
Say that he is just one of the all-time greatest showmen in entertainment. Innovative, not afraid to do what he wanted with his art. Had a lot of unfortunate turns into violence and animal cruelty, but he said himself that he was annoyed. He thought, when I die, on my tombstone, it's going to say, this is Ozzy Osbourne, he bit the head off a bat. So he didn't want to be remembered for that stuff. So, okay, let's not, you know, it's something we certainly can talk about, but just in terms of his contributions to entertainment,